Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to another episode of the Connecting Soul Beings podcast. This particular episode was recorded during the 2018 Connecting Soul Beings Summit. This summit contains 28 experts and thought leaders, and we created this event to help conscious, self-aware soul beings and animal lovers to have inspiration and practical guidance on how to feel connected and in alignment, filled with beautiful energy. You can also watch the videos of these episodes on our YouTube channel, which is listed in the show notes. Please enjoy. Hi, and welcome back to yet another wonderful day here at the Summit, Connecting Soul Beings. Today, it is my honor to introduce you to a wonderful soul, shamanic practitioner, and energy psychologist, Sabrina P. Grossi. Sabrina is based in Germany, and today we are talking about energy psychology, what that is, how it works, and how we can apply it in our everyday life. We will also touch on some past lives, shamanic healing, energy, tapping. It will be an amazing conversation, and I'm sure you will enjoy it. So take your time, grab a cup of coffee, make yourself a wonderful cup of tea, and enjoy this beautiful conversation. So, energy psychology, what's all that about?
Great question. So it's about energy and it's about psychology.
Yes.
So basically, figure that one. Psychologists, thankfully, discovered energy work, and specifically one guy, Roger Callahan, you know, many moons ago, end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, clinical psychologist in the States, started incorporating meridian points from Chinese medicine that he'd been studying about, and had this sort of idea, inspiration that came from, you know, who knows where, right? To ask his client to start tapping on one of the points while she was talking about her phobia. And he knew that, you know, this point was about fear, and she was feeling a fear in her stomach. So it all started from the world of psychology starting to draw on other worlds and bringing these worlds together. And then it developed and developed and developed. So, you know, he was ridiculed completely initially. And then other people started learning from him. He was training people up. People started getting incredible results with clearing and releasing distress, emotions, phobias, traumas that people had been plagued by for years and were going round and round in circles with.
Yeah.
In sometimes just one session, post-traumatic stress disorder was being resolved, for example. And the results were sort of a bit too extraordinary, in a sense that the scientific community wasn't really accepting these case studies, even, and still to this day struggles with it. Although some progress is being made, some studies. But so, you know, the field has grown and grown and grown. And it's basically people who are like psychologists and psychotherapists, people who've done traditional, if you like, training, that have drawn on the concept of meridian points being stimulated that release stress in the brain, so that whenever you're distressed, you're sending at the same time calming signal to the brain. That's how psychologists would make sense of this.
Right.
So they've kind of started incorporating tapping. They started incorporating all sorts of other things, like working with the chakras, holding the chakras, fanning the chakras, working with the biofield and the energy body, the auric field around the body. And then, you know, anything, you know, people have started incorporating all sorts of other energy modalities, like shamanic work, for example. So it's a very, what I love about energy psychology and the community that exists internationally is it's a very inclusive field. And at the same time, it has this this desire to really keep researching and understanding and spreading the word and having that connection with, as Western psychology, keeping the real value that comes from our understanding of human beings, of our development, of our childhood traumas, of our nervous system, of how trauma works with the brain, with the body, with the nervous system. So what I like about it is it's very grounded in that sense. And at the same time, it's also bringing in elements that one could argue are completely ungrounded or, you know, not necessarily yet completely grounded in scientific evidence, even though that's definitely changing these days. Yes. It's a very interesting coming together of worlds. Mm. This is my kind of probably a bit of an original definition, by the way. But does that make sort of sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. And I love the fact that it is that combination and that bringing together of the two worlds, where it's very scientific on one hand, yet they're using the energy and, you know, not even just the energy work, it's also the Eastern methodologies of healing into
that
scientific work. And I love the fact that that is now being combined, and slowly but surely I can see that happening in other areas too. You know, I mean, I'm very passionate also to merge into the veterinary industry, for example, and utilize animal communication and Reiki healing for animals in the veterinary industry as part of the holistic healing for animals. But it's still a very unknown area for the vets and the vet nurses. There are some natural practitioners out there. They might be a little bit curious, but they mostly start off with acupuncture, for example, which already is really fantastic that they utilize that. So it's really great to see that happening for the humans as well, that we can actually combine it all and therefore it becomes more holistic. Yeah.
Completely. And a lot of energy psychologists actually work with pets as well. So work with owners and teach them how to do surrogate work, where you basically work on yourself on behalf of your pet, either tapping on your body. And it's like energetically you're connecting with the energy of your pet. And you can do this with your child. You're energetically connecting with the energy of your child. Yes. And all that you need is your intention. So energy psychology is also, a lot of the more recent developments are much more about realizing the importance of intention. Mm-hmm. So historically, it's been about technique, because the way it started was, oh, if you tap on these points, something changes, which is very much still the case. And this has been popularized by EFT, emotional freedom technique. Gary Craig took what Roger Callahan discovered and simplified it and spread it to the world, which was a great gift. And so people know a lot of, think of energy psychology, they often think of EFT, even though it's much more than just EFT. That's just one very small part, but that's where it kind of started. And so it started with focus on technique. You tap on this point, or you hold this chakra, for example. And now there's a clear understanding that intention is actually really powerful and where it's at. And even Gary Craig, who invented EFT, has kind of gone in the direction of saying, actually, it's much more about the intention, our connection to source. So a lot of people get into this field because they find out, oh, I can tap on these points and my anxiety goes away. That's amazing. So it's something very tangible, which
Absolutely.
Is great.
Yes.
A lot of people who have never explored anything energetic, spiritual, anything beyond the concrete world, it's a great place to start. And so often that's where therapists start with their clients, right? And so as soon as clients then realize that there can be a dramatic shift from their distress that's different from anything maybe they've experienced before, that's beyond just a momentary relaxation, like a nice breathing meditation or yoga exercise, which might be wonderful, but the trauma is still there. So they, you know, they find, oh, with tapping, I can actually release it. Then they start realizing that they start connecting much more with the fact that there is more than their physical body. So they start having sensations, connecting with energy, and their consciousness starts opening up. It is not always this kind of path, linear path, you know, people have different journeys, but this is kind of what we've seen, and also practitioners of energy psychology. And then they start kind of, you know, getting downloads, and they're, you know, finding out that they have guides that are supporting them, and they start getting curious about approaches that are a bit less physical touch, tangible, and are more about just connecting with other realms, and they start discovering greater aspects of their being. And so they then realize that it's sufficient to just connect with the higher self and source energy and make a request or make a command for healing, and that makes the healing happen and the release happen without having to touch our bodies.
Yes.
And at the same time, it's really helpful to combine the two, the intentional work and also the grounded work, because we are physical bodies. Mm. And I went off a bit on a tangent from the pet thing, but I just wanted to say that surrogate work is a bit of an interesting combination of the two, that you're setting your intention to connect with the energy field of another, and then you're tapping on your body, for example, or doing it, or just asking for the healing. You don't have to tap. But it's this amazing bridging of there is no space, there is no time, where, you know, we can directly work on another person without having to be with that other person, and just through our intention. So it's interesting, you know, so energy psychologists and energy psychology in general are doing all that. So they're bringing together these, like you say, the tangible and the intangible.
Yes. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Because most of the work that I do myself is remote, and working with the animals as well is remote. And providing them with the Reiki healing is also remote, because it is energy. It is tuning into their frequency in that sense. I so understand what you mean by that, to use that as that. Yeah. Because I've also heard with, is it kinesiology, that they do that as well sometimes, that they use the human person to provide kinesiology for the dog or the cat or whatever that they have?
Completely. Yeah. So energy psychologists, so the way Roger Callahan started, the guy that I was talking about earlier who founded this whole field, then people started incorporating kinesiology and muscle testing into this.
Right.
So what he came up with was a model that you would muscle test the body of the person to find out which points needed to be tapped. And absolutely, that's what people do with pets. You can muscle test yourself on behalf of a pet, find out what's the source of the problem, what's the trauma that started the disease, the distress, the fear, and what's the best way to resolve that trauma, what's the best technique, is there a fear that's stopping that person or animal from letting go of that, is there what we call a reversal. So one of the biggest gifts that energy psychology, I think, has for the world is the concept of psychological or psychoenergetic reversals, which is like beliefs like, it's not safe to be well, or I don't deserve to be well, or I don't want to be well. So if somebody comes to you and says, I want to release these past traumas from my life because I want to feel good, I want to move forward, I don't want to have this fear of being rejected anymore, whatever it is, they will say to you, I want to get better, help me. And then you might muscle test them, and the muscle test will say, I want to stay unwell.
Okay.
Or, you know, I don't deserve to move forward. Or if I move forward, if I'm no longer scared of this thing, I will no longer be loved. For example, nobody will ever take care of me anymore. So there's kind of like these energies that make the person go in reverse. That's what's called a reversal. So instead of the natural kind of, you know, the bodies are naturally aligned to wanting to grow, right? Our evolutionary instinct is to grow and to go forward, but reversals make our energy go backwards. Right. So they get in the way of any healing.
Yes.
So you can do lots of different healing work, and you might find that either nothing's working or it's only temporary, and then you find that you're kind of going backwards again. So reversals are normally at the root of that. And when you can identify them really specifically, then you can release them often quite easily, actually. But it's about really getting to the bottom of which reversals are in the way, and for people to realize that they have an unconscious mind. You know, I hear a lot in the online world, this kind of concept of choice, like you need to choose. You need to choose to have the life you want. You need to, you know, it's time to choose your abundance. It's time to choose the happiness, the joy that's your birthright. Yeah. And people will spend hours and days and months journaling. I choose this and I choose that. But if their unconscious mind is saying, it's absolutely not safe. It's outright dangerous. If you do that, you're going to die. And most of this stuff is completely unconscious. No amount of journaling is going to get you out of it, in my personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are getting stuck with the methods that they're using, that's where you might want to play detective and think, ooh, there might be an energetic reversal that's getting in the way, and that it always has a really good reason why it's there. It's always started to protect us. This is where the psychological bit comes into healing work, I think, really understanding the complexity of our psyche and understanding that we have many different parts inside us. We are not one person. We are not one rational person.
Yeah, exactly. So how can we start working on that?
Well, first of all, just bringing kind of a compassionate understanding that this is normal is really important, because we tend to really beat ourselves up. We tend to think that we're failing if we're not meeting our goals. We tend to just should ourselves and shame ourselves.
Yes.
And shame is paralyzing. Shame is is sort of the freeze part of the fight, flight, freeze response. And so it keeps us stuck.
Yeah.
In a way, it kind of is another reversal, actually. So the first step, when we're not getting what we want, when we're not able to shift what we're trying to shift, when we feel like we're trying really hard and nothing's changing, to realize that there's nothing wrong with you. It's not that you're failing. It's just information. So to try and bring that very compassionate curiosity, that very mindful curiosity of, that's really interesting. What different parts of my being, what are they saying? What are they feeling? What is their agenda here? And often we think that it's like parts of us are against us, you know, or we may not even realize those parts of us, but then we might start realizing it. And then we think that we have to fight past that part. And fighting is not the answer. Fighting is what's probably got us in this whole mess in the first place. And so I think it's about understanding, bringing compassion, bringing curiosity, and then doing detective work and really knowing. Once you know what some of the classical reversals are, you can start inquiring. If you know how to muscle test, great. And you can learn how to muscle test. It's not that difficult. It's a bit of an art. It takes practice, but you can learn how to muscle test. You can learn how to self muscle test and you can find out. This is my way of self muscle testing. And I would ask myself, you know, let's say I want to become more visible in my online business, for example. You know, the next step, when you put the next challenge on yourself, usually the next layer of
expansion struggle.
Yeah, the next level of expansion brings the next level layer of trauma, trapped emotions, limiting beliefs, old spouse contracts to the surface.
Yeah, because you feel that resistance then, right?
Yes. That is normal.
Yeah.
So people think that, oh no, you know, I'm going backwards. No. That is the path of growth and expansion as human beings, because we're not just spirit. We're spirit in a human form, and human beings carry with them in their DNA ancestrally generations of stuff. They carry with them, I would argue, past lifetimes of stuff, for want of a better word. When I say stuff, I'm meaning a whole combination of past traumas, trapped emotions, limiting beliefs, fears, patterns, programs, conditionings that we have inherited from our experiences, we've inherited from our ancestors, we've inherited from the collective. Because as a species, we have lived in this old paradigm of lack, and we've let ourselves believe that for many different reasons. That aren't necessarily the scope of this talk today, but And so when we set a goal to step out of our comfort zone, all of this stuff is going to come up.
Yep.
And this is the good news. We cannot evolve. We cannot heal as a species. We cannot connect with each other the way we really long to connect without bringing all that shit to the surface. And excuse my language, but that's just kind of how it is. It's a bit like letting the mud come to the surface so that we can see it, so that it's not hiding underneath. So when you're in that swamp and you can't move forward, the mud is your gift. You think the mud is in the way, the mud is your gift. The mud is, if you're willing to look at it, if you're willing to see that you're not just one person, that you're many parts to you, that you're a complex being, that you chose to come into this human form to experience the fullness of being a human with all of these complexities because you want to learn and you want to grow and you want to realize the fullness of who you are, you can only do that through the mud.
Mm.
Many people start a spiritual practice thinking they can just skip the mud and just go into the light. And they get sucked back into that quicksand and they're like,
And
they don't know what's going on. They don't know how to get out of it. And it's like, first of all, don't try and get out of it. Because when you try and get out of sinking mud or quicksand, you just get more stuck. So you want to bring that love and compassion in. Ask for help if you're stuck, because often we have blind spots that we can't see on our own. And to really then realize that what's underneath the mud is gold. But to get to that gold, you need to embrace the mud, heal and peel off all these layers of what you never were. It was never you in the first place, but at some level you agreed to take it on. And so investigating why that is, and liberating ourselves layer after layer after layer after layer.
Yes.
And it does involve feeling that stickiness and feeling the pain and feeling the discomfort.
And it's really interesting because that mud we often try to avoid as well. And what I've also noticed is when people are in the work that we are in and serving people that way, I find that, and maybe I'm generalizing this, but what I've learned and how I perceive people and what they're saying is that they don't expect us to have those experiences. Because they believe that we are already cleared of everything, right? Because we do all this spiritual work day in, day out, and therefore we will not experience any of that mud. But quite the opposite is true.
Yeah,
and I had a wonderful conversation with Michelle about that too, because it's all about us having these experiences and we have so much of that stuff still coming up. And it's, in my mind also, it's because we're being up-leveled. Being up-leveled and then another level up and then another level up. And you can't go to that level up without getting through the mud. What's underneath that? Start clearing that, like you say, layer by layer. And then you get, you're ready for the other level up. But once that's done, very quickly, there's another one coming on top.
Yeah.
Right? When does it end?
That feeling that you can get, especially us as healers, because we know how powerful this work is, right? So we know how much liberated we can feel. And at the same time, we're like, oh, not another layer. It's like, I thought I was done with that. And I think it's a really interesting phenomenon because I think it's quite amazing. We as wounded healers are working through so much of our own stuff and at the same time helping other people. And we can also have this whole feeling like a fraud thing at times. And there can also be, I think, I don't know what you think, but this kind of secrecy about the fact that we're all actually working through our stuff. Just like, so clients put us on pedestals.
Yes.
And they think that, you know, once they've cleared whatever they've come to you for, they might think that then they can just walk into the sunset. And if that doesn't happen, that can be quite a blow.
Absolutely.
And I think it's really interesting. I think it does depend on possibly what we've signed up for before this lifetime in terms of the kind of learning we've signed up for. Because what I've noticed is some people seem to have signed up for a lot more than others.
Yes.
And it can kind of feel much more complex and convoluted with a lot of those layers of trauma as well as of reversals, all kind of one enmeshed into the other, like a weaving pattern. And others, they're not as complex, and it's easy to kind of think, oh, why is it so hard for me, maybe not for other people, but actually realizing that we don't know, there's so much we don't know, being able to be open to that and to somehow trust the journey and to trust that I really do believe that we've signed up for our journey.
Yes.
And sort of being able to trust ourselves and our soul about what we're here to learn and experience in this lifetime. And that we're totally allowed to feel fed up. That's okay. That's part of being human as well. So to not deny any of those different feelings, the elation, the bliss, the fed upness, and everything in between. And to, like for me particularly, because I do feel like often, I feel like the work I do with clients is very powerful, getting quicker and quicker and easier and easier. And it's almost like, in a way, what I'm seeing is them walking into the sunset, not always necessarily quite like this, and me kind of struggling with the deeper layers again. And sort of then wondering, okay, what kind of contract did I sign as a healer to keep suffering? Mm. I see that again and again as healers, that somewhere along the lines we learned and believed that we need to keep suffering in order to help other people. So that's sort of an aspect that I've been clearing a lot in the last few months.
Yeah,
I'm very keen on clearing as we try. At the moment, we're really in between paradigms, and as we transfer to the new paradigm. The feeling I'm getting of the new paradigm that we're moving into is that we don't have to necessarily learn through suffering. So, but that's a new reality. And I feel like we're having the glimpses of that, the experiences of that, but we're also still clearing a lot of information from the old paradigm that was saying, yeah, you have to suffer, you have to die on the cross, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting time, I feel, like when we're in between.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you...
Yeah, absolutely. And it feels like it is those two spectrums that you're sort of moving between all the time. It's not just we have to go through this to help people, but sometimes it's also I'm helping a person and, oh my God, that person is going through exactly the same that I am now. So even though we are seen as the experts... you go through similar things maybe at the same time as your client is, and therefore you're learning on the go at the same time. But on the other hand, I've also experienced that, there is no need to struggle and to having to go through certain black holes or to, you know, surface that mud and move through that to be able to heal and teach and serve. And it's really interesting because earlier on you spoke about the collective. And for me, the collective, I mean, for me, they come through as the council. It's really interesting because they are also showing me that that suffering, that struggling, the hardship, it's over.
Mm.
We don't have to do that anymore. Mm. Everything that we need as that spiritual teacher, as that spiritual healer, we already have. We are already at the level that we are supposed to be at, or we think we need to be at, to serve.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that it is part of our human side that is still not willing or is scared to or doesn't believe that we are already at that level. And to be at that level. And that's still that journey that we're going on.
I completely see that too.
Mm.
Yeah. And when I was talking about the collective, by the way, I was talking more about collective beliefs as humans. Mm. So the kind of they have an energetic what's the word I'm looking for? There's an actual, almost like a solid energetic entity.
Yeah.
some of these collective beliefs, some of these collective human beliefs of what we've just described of you've got to keep struggling, you've got to keep suffering, you know, these kind of beliefs of staying powerless and in lack and never enough that have plagued humanity, that have plagued how we treat the planet and how we treat each other and animals and all beings, and whether we see ourselves as a big family or whether we don't, you know, or whether we see ourselves competing for limited resources. So those are very powerful collective beliefs that are almost like entities that can really get hooked into our energy fields. So that's something to be really conscious of and to set the intention and mindfully do the work to release all of our contracts with that energy, with that, with those entities, because that's also part of what I'm witnessing at the moment is needing to be unhooked. And so you know, when things need to be unhooked, they come up even stronger than before to be fully seen and felt. So if anyone is struggling with those themes, that's something to think about, to ask your guides or ask for help or use the various techniques that people are using to unhook from those strong entangling collective belief that actually have a life of their own. It's like a parasitic life form that can kind of feed on us, and we don't, we can choose not to feed that anymore.
Well, exactly. Interesting. The hooks, I'm just sort of visualizing that and how that could feel. I mean, that's very unusual. And it's almost like it's so dense that you can't even sort of see through that. That's the feeling I get from that.
Yeah, sometimes we can't tell the difference between, it's my beliefs versus, oh, actually, this is some kind of collective energy that I've merged with many moons ago. My ancestors merged with it. My, you know, my past selves merged with this. I've just assumed that this is how it is.
So how do we actually find out? Because you talked about ancestors, you talked about some of the shamanic stuff and past lives. How do we tap into that and find out what we may need to find out to help us now?
Oof, wow, that's so many ways, so many different roads to Rome, as they say.
There are indeed.
I can share, I guess, how I have done it, which is not by any means the only way, but it's, I guess, the way I know. So I, so maybe I can say a bit about the shamanic work, actually, so it can kind of feed into this. Would that help? So I am, after doing, so I was originally, I trained as a psychologist, you know, traditionally trained as a psychologist, as a counseling psychologist. And then I found out about energy psychology. So I started training in those methods. And then I had a strong calling to become a shaman. And so I looked into that. I didn't really know what it was, but I kind of heard this voice. I felt this kind of message come through. And so shamanic healing is a very ancient, is the most ancient tradition there is. I feel like saying it's the most ancient religion. It's not a religion at all. So it's the most ancient spiritual practice. That's the word I'm looking for. And it's really something that exists in all cultures, in all corners of the world. And therefore, it seems to have a common collective ground in it. And the idea is that the shaman, which was sort of like the healer of the village, if you like, of the community, would be called by the spirits to become that person, the healer of the village, and therefore communicate and connect with these other realms, other dimensions, but beyond just this kind of physical three-dimensional reality that we currently live in and talk through on this apparatus, on this computer, sort of beyond that reality, other dimensions, and being an intermediary between these worlds. And the idea being that there are other beings that we cannot necessarily see or touch with our eyes, but that we can pick up with our other sixth, seventh, eighth senses, many different senses that we have. and that these are benign beings, these are compassionate beings, these are beings that are here to help us as humanity to grow, to evolve, to heal, and to transform all these old stories that you and I have been talking about. And so they obviously they only operate through free will, so we need to ask for their help.
Yes.
They don't intervene.
Okay.
And if we ask, they very, very, very happy to assist and to build a relationship with us. Okay. And so a shaman connects with them, and they often work through the shaman to bring healing or insight to the person the shaman is working with. And this is how it kind of used to be, you see, in these kind of prehistoric societies. And these days, shamanism has spread so much, has grown so much, and so many people are learning shamanic journeying, which is this way of going into a trance in the sense of suspending just the conscious mind thinking and activating more other parts of our brain and consciousness that are able to be open to journey into these other dimensions. Physically, our bodies are still here, but our consciousness is able to expand and connect mm-hmm. with these other dimensions and with these light beings, compassionate beings for help. Mm-hmm. And anyone can learn to do this. And this is what I find very empowering, because I think, sorry, this is part of the paradigm shift. I really feel that we're all here to learn how to become our own healers, yeah. how to fully become empowered to realize that we can manifest anything we desire, and therefore for all of us to tap into our infinite power. But what that means is to tap into the sort of this people call it the quantum field. People have many names for it, but this kind of field of energy where all time and space collapses, where we can go with our intention, we can request healing. And if you find an affinity with shamanism and connecting with these other types of spirits and beings, they often come in the shape and form of animals, and they therefore bring that kind of power and quality and essence of some of these animals, so that that power can really supplement our own mm-hmm. and increase our power. If that appeals to you, that's a wonderful, colorful, creative way to connect with this quantum field. It's definitely not the only way. You can also just go straight there. Yes. So what I'm trying to say is that anyone can learn how to do this. And we're past the days where there was just one shaman in the village that was chosen. I really feel that as more and more of us are waking up, if you're feeling called, that's the sign that you are chosen, in the sense that you're allowing yourself to enter that world. Doesn't mean that you have to become a healer of other people. It just means that you have the potential to discover more and more of you and get a direct connection. Mm. Right? You know, we don't have to go through priests anymore. We don't have to go through religions anymore. We don't have to go through structures anymore. There was an evolutionary reason for that. But I mean, this is my personal view, of course, but I feel that we can just directly connect now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I guess part of the healing path is letting go of all those things that are in the way of that, all those beliefs that you were saying that yeah. we're not, you know, allowed or able or blah, blah. So shamanism is just one way, and it has a rich tradition. And it's very nice to feel that support of so many beings and to call on them. And so in doing my shamanic medicine wheel training is how, by being able to travel to different dimensions, is how I was able to discover about my past lives and relive some of them, see them, feel them, and heal them. Past life regression is another way of discovering about past lives. And again, it's really about just training your consciousness with your intention to travel to different places. Mm-hmm. Everything's happening at the same time in the same place, but with our intention we can go to different places, we can go to our soul records and get information.
Yeah.
Some people call this the Akashic records. You know, in my experience, again, it's about intention.
Mm-hmm.
And And with ancestral kind of healing, it's a similar thing. You can set an intention to travel down the mother line or travel down the father line and find the information that you need about particular traumas that some of your ancestors have experienced. And this is how I learned. So when I learned these things, we traveled, we got the information. And I really think that for a lot of us, when we're discovering that we're so much more than just this physical body, that's invaluable. Because then you have a direct experience. It's no longer like I believe or not in past lives. It's like you have such a strong cathartic experience that it's an important part of getting to know who we are at a soul level.
Yes.
Having said that, these days when I do a lot of work with my clients, we often don't need to go anywhere and get that much information. It's getting much, much more simpler, more compact. It's the muscle testing is revealing that there's ancestral origins to an issue. And we simply ask to clear it. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to go and get the information. So I find that it just depends case by case, whether somebody's soul is really needing to know more or whether that's not necessary. And we just need to identify that there is something. It's a bit like a needle in the haystack. You kind of need to know that there is a needle that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of, it's almost like you've identified fourth generation on the father line, there is an origin meaning a trauma, an issue, a trapped emotion, an emotional experience, something, mm-hmm. belief system, something that happened that stayed in the energy field of the family and trickled down to you. There's an origin there. We need to release it. Often that's all you need to know these days. Right. And you just set your intention. You connect with your higher self. You connect with source. You connect with this quantum field of energy, this infinite library of information.
Yeah.
And it's like you're setting it's like you're shooting an arrow and you're saying, right, we're going right there and we're asking to clear it. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Okay.
Experience. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it makes sense to you. I hope whoever's hearing and watching.
Some people might sit there going, whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Why? This is like the trick. It is like the Matrix.
And that was my goal. That's it. Now I get it.
Well, your soul will get it, whoever's watching this.
Yes. You know,
even if your mind doesn't get it, I think that's an important part to say. If whoever's watching this, if you're feeling a resonance, you might notice we have an addiction to making sense of things with our rational mind. So your rational mind might think, oh, I'm trying to get my head around it. That's normal. That's okay. You can let that happen in the background. Don't let that limit you from getting the download. Energetically, at a soul level, you're getting a download from what we're talking about. And that's going to wake up certain abilities and certain openness inside you for the next level of your journey.
Yeah, yeah. And I love the fact that you can do that on your own. Once you've learned under guidance, I would always recommend people to do it first under guidance, especially if they're not used to it. But once you learn it on your own, oh my goodness, it is so amazing to just go there, you know. And I've cleared quite a number of things in this lifetime that was connected to some previous experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really helped understand some of the things that were happening in this life too. Not just, it hasn't been just because I had to clear things. Sometimes I just had to go back for that split second to reconnect with one of the previous lives just to understand why certain things are happening right now or why I'm doing certain things right now. You know, and that's been really interesting to do and then to apply what you then learn or to clear if that's the case. And that can have amazingly powerful effects.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an interesting concept. And I mean, even when you travel and you go to certain places where you stand there going, I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a really strong connection with it. And emotions might come up and things like that. Because that was the stage for me quite a few years ago now. When I went on a trip to China, I've had several locations there where I felt such a strong emotional connection with those places. And that was the first time where I thought, I need to know more. I've been here before, but it wasn't in this lifetime. How do I find out about this? And that's when I learned about past life regression and actually went back and learned what that was. And there were some amazing experiences that, you know, I was like, whoa, okay, that is why I've always had that affinity with a country, or that's why I felt like that when I went there. And,
yes.
And you that's can learn really so much from that to do that. Yeah, fascinating stuff. But never knew that it was also related to shamanic healing too. I always thought it was separate, you know, shamanic was something different, past life was something different. But when you learn about all these modalities that we have available to us,
They're all tuning into the same field. Yeah. They're all tuning into the same field. And the only limit is your imagination in terms of how far you want to go.
Exactly.
So there is no limit. No. Absolutely. The only thing about shamanism is simply the, I think, the history of it in terms of being the earliest documented exploration of all this and channeling from a human perspective of, of all this.
Yeah.
But since then, there's been so many. That's kind of what I meant by there are infinite roads to Rome. Because we can get very attached to our own methods that worked for us and go, we've all done this. I've certainly done this. And I'm like, when I discovered tapping, everybody has to do tapping. Or, you know, when I discovered shamanic work, everybody has to do shamanic work. And it's like, everybody has their own journey. And it's about following what resonates with your soul. And if you're in integrity with listening to yourself, which can take time to discern that. But all roads, I believe, lead to that that place.
Definitely, yeah. So what's the one thing that you feel you would like to share with the audience that they can implement and practice?
That's a very good question. Well, I'd love to share a really simple technique, for want of a better word, by a wonderful mentors of mine that I love, and I can demonstrate it in 2 or 3 minutes if that's okay.
Yes, we'd love to.
So it's called Ask and Receive, and Sandy Radomski and Tom Altaffer and his wife Pam Altaffer are my wonderful beloved mentors who created this. And it's a really simple yet very deep and effective, so don't be fooled by the apparent simplicity of this method, because it has been transformative in my clients' lives. But it's very easy instantly to apply and to use to resolve, release distress, and to connect with higher parts of our being without needing to know what that even means or what that is or where it is or where to go. You don't have to worry about any of that. It uses the power of intention and the power of word to connect with that. And so I think this is a really wonderful thing to try out. So in order to do this, simply pick something that is bothering you right now. Maybe sort of closing your eyes and thinking about something that's either triggered you recently, something that's concerning you right now, something that when you think about it, you can kind of feel a physical sensation about it. And I usually start yawning as soon as I connect with anything like this. With you, with me, with whoever's watching in the future. I'm already sort of connecting with that field of those of you watching in the future. So just for the purposes of this kind of demo, can I just check in with you, Bianca, to see if you've got something? You don't have to tell me what it is. You don't have to say what it is. But you've got something, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, great. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say certain words, and you, whoever's watching, and in this case, you, Bianca, are going to repeat the words out loud. As simple as that. There's going to be different sections to it. Just repeat what I say after what I've said. and then we'll feed back. Any questions?
Nope. Just want to highlight when you yawn, I yawn.
Yes, we're connected. We're connecting and we're connected and we're already our intention is very strong and we're holding a strong field for each other and for those of you watching at any point in time. So just, and if you don't know what to work on, if you don't have a thing, just trust that your higher self knows what it is that you're needing to release. And that's enough to just say the words anyway. And for those of you who have a physical sensation that you're sensing, in this script that I'm about to say out loud, there comes a point when I say heal and release this. So when I say the word this, you're each of you going to focus on either the physical sensation you're feeling when you think of this issue, or an emotion, or a thought, belief, or an image, or anything else that's bubbling to the surface that needs releasing. Whew. So repeating after me, there is a part of my being.
There is a part of my being.
That already knows.
That already knows.
How to heal, release, and unhook.
How to heal, release, and unhook.
From this feeling.
From this feeling.
This sensation.
This sensation.
This distress.
This distress.
This issue.
This issue.
All that it represents.
All that it represents.
All of its roots.
All of its roots.
Across all of my ages.
Across all of my ages.
All of its repercussions.
All of its repercussions.
And its point of entry.
And its point of entry.
That part of my being.
That part of my being
is willing to inform.
Is willing to inform
the rest of me now.
The rest of me now.
It is doing so now.
It is doing so now.
With grace and ease.
With grace and ease.
My mind, body, and spirit.
My mind, body, and spirit.
Are receiving this information.
Are receiving this information.
Take a breath. Information transfer.
Information transfer.
Is now complete.
Is now complete.
And take another deep breath. And if you have a yawn, let the yawn happen. If you have a burp or a gurgle or any physical reaction, let it happen. And at this point, you just recheck how your body feels and how you feel in response to this initial issue that you brought to mind. And you just check if there's anything left. Maybe it's the same sensation, but it's lessened. Maybe it's moved to a different part of the body. Maybe it's shifted from one emotion to a different emotion. And if it has, you repeat what we've just done with what's emerging now. And you just keep going until you feel peace. I'm just going to check in with you, Bianca. How are you feeling? What are you
very
noticing?
Calm about that particular situation. I'm actually surprised what came to the surface, where it resonated from.
Mm.
It was like it came from left field.
So some new information.
Yes.
Came up.
Mm-hmm. Where that originates from was, wow, okay.
Yeah. Mm. Great.
Interesting.
Great, yeah. So this is seems so simple, right? You're just repeating these words, but it connects us straight to another part of us.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what we want to call it. Doesn't need a name. That's what I love about it. It's very open. There's a part of my being that already knows. We don't have to even know what that part is. And it's it can be very soothing to realize that there is a part of your being that already knows.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful
energy coming up.
Yeah. It's a very simple thing. It's great for people at all levels, whether there's people that already do healing or people that have never done anything before. So I encourage you guys to play with it. And there's many ways that it can be used, of course.
Yeah.
But this is just a taster.
Fantastic. Wow. That's very powerful stuff. Very powerful. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sabrina. That was absolutely amazing. I absolutely love what you do. Your energy is so beautiful. And you spread so much love into the world. And you're doing it with so much compassion. It's so beautiful. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for seeing me, actually. Thank you for seeing me, for witnessing, and for creating this loving space. I felt very safe and comfortable and very much ease doing this with you, which is a wonderful testament to your gifts and to the space you're creating. And I really feel a very sacred and solid container energetically that you've created. So thank you for inviting me into it and allowing me to add to my contribution.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback, as they are truly inspiring. So please take some time to comment on this episode below. If you love the show, you can help us by sharing and liking it via your favorite podcast platform and our website. And if you feel that we can work together in helping you to connect to your inner self and the animals, then hop on over to biancadeRose.com or find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram under Bianca De Rose. Thank you again so much. Say hi to your pet from me and stay connected with love and grace.